We're good to go.
All right. Thank you. Welcome, everybody. I'm really excited to have Marianne Diaz Hernandez here today. She has been, a human rights and technology researcher, which I loved that idea of, really taking all the technology and the things we talk about in these meetings so often and really turning it into, practical things that are helping people on the front lines in many different ways. And I'm really excited for her to share her digital identity toolkit with us in just a few minutes. But let me first kind of run through our housekeeping, notes and then we'll get started. One is, I'm so happy to be a part of this community that is so inclusive and respectful of other people's ideas and thinking and comments. And so we just want to make sure that we bring that to the forefront of every single one of our meetings. If you want to learn more about the W3C and how they view the code of ethics and professional conduct, it is in our agenda. The link to it is in the agenda. I invite you to check it out. We invite everyone to participate. That's another reason I love this community is that it is so welcoming. We are over 550 people, who are members of this community, and we welcome them all, and anyone can participate in these community calls. However, anyone who wants to, provide substantive contributions should be a member of the CCG, and you can do that very easily by going to w3.org and joining. It is free to join and then completing that contributor license. And the links to that is also in our agenda. We keep a record of these calls through minutes and recording of a transcript to make sure that we hold on to this information going forward so that we can go back and look at that archive, and also to really make sure that everyone has access to the wonderful things that we are discussing. We invite you to participate by using Q+ in the chat. I will take the role of moderator and facilitator today and kind of make sure that our queue is running smoothly and that everyone gets a chance to contribute and talk as we're responding to the information that Marianne provides in just a little bit. Okay. So, now I am to the part of today where I invite folks who are new to the community or are, returning after being away for a bit or just want to, say hi to, put themselves on the queue and introduce themselves or reintroduce themselves. Wes, glad to have you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Wes. I'm a software engineer at Digital Bazaar, and I'm looking forward to working with you all.
Great. Welcome. Anyone else like to introduce themselves? All right. How about announcements and reminders? Does anyone have any information they want to share with the group? Manu.
Hey, Kimberly. Just one announcement. I think we announced the verifiable barcodes specification that we've been incubating, sorry, that we've just been working on for a while. Last week, I'll put a link into that specification here. This is work that is being deployed for the state of California and is expected to be deployed for the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, permanent resident card, employment authorization document, stuff like that. We have proposed it as a work item for the credentials community group. I'll put in a link to that here. There's been some discussion on the mailing list. And then on top of that, we've got another organization that would like to support from an editorial role. That organization's name is Credence ID. And they, I think they've already joined or will be joining the credentials community group soon. They're also one of the, performers that have gotten a DHS contract to work on verifiable credential technology, and digital wallets and verifiers and stuff like that. So I ask that some of you look at the work. If you're interested in it, happy to answer any questions on the mailing list. And that's that. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Anyone else with an announcement reminder?
Yeah. Well, I just want to jump in on that, Manu. Just, I want to follow the processes correctly, but I think either this week or next week, right, we should have like a vote, or like somebody should object if they don't want it. I think we can look to accept this work. I think it ticks all the boxes as far as I can tell.
Great. Harrison.
Yeah, I just want to add that we invited Wes to talk about verifiable credentials barcode on August 6th. And then a quick preview of what's coming. So next week, we got Lucy and Gail to talk about the California DMV MDL hackathon. So I think they're going to hold it in September or October this year, obviously. So they're going to talk about that. And then the week after, we're going to have Greg coming back again to talk about anonymous holder binding and pseudonym. And then the week after, we're going to have the author of the MIT Meronymity paper, Neuron, to talk about her work there. So that's an upcoming agenda. Pretty excited about actually all these topics. So thanks.
Sounds great. Thanks, Harrison. Anyone else? All right. Will, would you like to talk about work items?
Sure. Yeah, I can give an overview. So I've been just trying to figure out what work is going on and get some contact details for everyone in the CCG doing, leading, you know, at least being the point person for the work items. And I've got a spreadsheet. It's kind of a list. I think there's 4 or 5 work items, and then there's 4 task forces. I haven't been as in touch with the task forces, so I'll try and do that in the future. But, I mean, I can just run down the list of work items that I think are active, and then there's one that I think is inactive, but maybe will become active in the future. So we have the Quantum Safe Data Integrity Signature Suite, the Verifiable Credential Data Model 2.0 Test Suite, and then there's the Verifiable Credential Data Model Confidence Method, like, I think this is inactive. I'm saying this is inactive. I reached out to a few of the co-editors, and only Oliver Turbu reached back to me and said he isn't available to, like, lead the work anymore. So, you know, if that's some work that you're interested in, maybe we can look at moving it back to active, but it needs some people to champion it. And then finally, we have data linked resources, and this is one that I thought was inactive, but actually they were just stuck on some, I don't know what you call it, like admin processing thing to do with BikeShed, the tool to render the URL. And we've worked through that. So I'm hoping it's going to start seeing some activity. So, you know, if any of those are things that you're interested in, and either reach out to me, I can point you to the right directions, or you should be able to find them in the CCG repo.
Thanks, Will. Manu, you had a comment?
Yeah, just on the confidence method. There are a number of us that want to see that move forward, and haven't been doing that because our whole focus right now, or a lot of our focus right now, is in getting the verifiable credentials 2.0 specifications done. And so I think the plan there is the verifiable credentials working group is going to reserve the confidence method extension point, and they're going to expect, once they finish their work, for some of those extension specs that were reserved to then be taken up. So those include like confidence method, and render method at a minimum. So I just want to signal, like, we are very interested in getting confidence method done, and we just haven't been able to coordinate that activity because everyone's been so busy with the 2.0 data model stuff. That's it.
Thank you. And one of the reasons that we are that we've asked Will to sort of collect this information and like really have a moment in each meeting where we bring it to the group, is because we know there are folks out there that want to contribute and want to be working on these projects more specifically, but you need an avenue in. And so that's one of the reasons we're bringing them here, is because, you know, that old expression, many hands makes light work. We know that there are lots of folks who have been deep in this knowledge and working for a long time, but we want to encourage other folks to get involved in the work. So hopefully as you hear us each week start to talk about these work items, you'll become more and more interested in getting involved. So Joe, did you have a question, comment?
Yes, I was double muted. I just want to plus one on that confidence method. We are very interested in supporting it, and we know of at least one other who maybe is going to be a co-lead with us on that spec. But everything Manny just said is also true. We've all been distracted with the BCDM work. So I expect that to reemerge as active in the next month or two.
Great.
Yeah, and the last thing I'd say is, like, I have these just in a spreadsheet at the moment, but I would like to, in the longish term, figure out how to get these more publicly available on the website. So that I don't think it's very clear at the moment from our website which are the active work items and who do you talk to get involved.
Great. Thank you, Will, for spearheading this. All right. Well, that brings us to our main agenda. So I'm going to go ahead and turn the mic over to Marianne and let her introduce herself and talk about her work. And then we will have a discussion.
Thank you so much, Kimberly. I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to share this information with you today, and particularly to hear and connect with you, hopefully not just today, but in an ongoing way. So, as Kimberly mentioned, I'm Marianne Diaz-Hernandez, or Marianne, everyone calls me Marianne. I work for Access Now. If anyone here doesn't know, Access Now is an organization, a human rights organization working in the intersection of human rights and technology. So both on how to use technology to help human rights, and for that we have our 24-hour helpline to help human rights activists and people at risk all over the world that might be in need of privacy, of protecting themselves from surveillance, from attacks, from anything of the like. But we also work on other topics, both in lobbying, for better laws in compliance of human rights, of protecting people to have better technology that is respectful of human rights. And on that note, Access Now was founded 15 years ago, so on the wake of the Arab Spring. And the YID campaign, which is the one that I lead, is our work on digital identity and digital ID systems all over the world, was launched in 2019. Access Now hosts the RightsCon conference. So this was launched in RightsCon Tunis in 2019. And the YID campaign originally aims to question digital ID systems, implementations, and particularly what we call big ID systems, in the sense of why are we implementing this? So trying to get ourselves and those implementing these systems to ask the question why before the question how, right? So we do have a right to a legal identity. Is this the best way to implement and to protect that right, to get legal identity for all, which is a development goal? And if so, then how, right? So we have been working on this campaign since 2019. I joined 2 years ago the campaign. I'm leading the campaign at the moment. And what I want to present to you today, well, first, the campaign itself, which was recently revamped. You can go to accessnow.org/YID. And see different resources. do we have research on the impact of ID systems all over the world, digital ID systems all over the world, and we have concerns and recommendations. What we are trying to get at is to try to make better systems. And we are aware that even when we are pushing back on certain characteristics, there is a point to the decision. So we need to get rid of the concept of human rights trade-off, because human rights are interdependent and you cannot have one without the other. So we have to protect all of them at the same time. So this is a campaign that works with human rights organizations, activists, researchers, technologists as well. But at the moment, our core base is about 200 people who are the signatories of the YID letter, which we do.
Did we lose Marianne? Yes, it appears to Phil. Okay.
I think we lost her, right, Kimberly?
Yes, I'm emailing her to make sure she knows on her end. Great.
Hi.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, I was hearing you all the time. So I just hit the website. I don't know where I left, but I was saying, I think that we have about 300. I haven't counted recently, but it's about 300 people on our mailing list, or the YID mailing list. Which is mainly civil society organizations, human rights activists, a lot of researchers that are working from the perspective of human rights and technology implementation. Mainly to try and promote meaningful change in the international agenda. So through United Nations and United Nations development offices, and through more regional organizations like the Organization for American States, but also international financial organizations that have their own agenda. So it's a lot. It's what I mean. And since we work with digital rights organizations in different countries, and particularly in global majority countries, I come from those organizations as well. Access Now is a global organization with like a large agenda, a large budget. These organizations are smaller, and when we work on smaller organizations, we have to work on all of the issues at the same time. We cannot afford to be specialists in anything. You don't have enough money or enough people. So that means that when a new digital ID implementation hits a country, that is usually because of specific agendas. Like, for instance, I am from Venezuela, and when we had this happen in Venezuela, it was because of a surveillance agenda. And each country has different reasons why they want to do this, right? So activists have to respond in the moment, and they usually don't have a lot of time to bridge that gap, that sort of learning curve that it implies, because as you know probably better than I do, digital ID implementations is a very technical topic. So to get to a level of comfort with the issue so that you can campaign around it is a lot. So what we have been working on and what I want to present to you is our toolkit. This toolkit is a very basic learning tool that I was trying to cover, or is still, because we are still working on it, is still trying to cover a gap, a lack of reading explainers on the basic elements of digital ID. Most information that is out there is either very technical, so it's not very good for an audience of lawyers, historians, people, cyborg people. We don't understand the things. And people who are working on day-to-day on human rights. And then the lack of basic campaigning material in the campaign, because we have research, but the research, again, is kind of deep. It is for an audience that already understands some of these topics. So we needed for this community, again, all of these 300 and so activists, to have some introductory campaigning materials so that when they are presented with a new system, they can understand, navigate that proposal in a way that is easier for them. They can try to make sense of the different aspects that can make up digital ID systems, because all of them are different, and help them build their own local campaign with some degree of language already built in for them to use and adapt. So what we did for this was we had a series of one-on-one conversation with team members inside Access Now, and then also with key partners and members of the community, and this community that I'm talking about, that we serve, so that we could kind of grasp what the need was. And then we had a series of workshops with the community to develop the content of the toolkit. We had an external facilitator, and we just launched everything at the wall, so it stick. And then we tried to make sense of that after the workshops were done. When we did that, went into the design stage with the help of our facilitator. We come through all of the input from the workshop and developed categories for the content. The content is designed as a deck, like a sort of tarot deck, that is divided in systems, mitigation, harm, and personas. So we go from the persona deck, we have characters, and then we try to navigate as that character a specific system. What the aspects of the systems are, what are the potential harms that the system might cause that specific person, might bring to that specific character, and then what are potential mitigations that we could implement in that system to make it better for human rights. So this is a playthrough mechanism to make the process more narrative, more understandable. I am also a fiction writer, and it's a bit of a gamer as well. So we tried to make this into something that was more humane to understand. And then our design team kicked us designing the cards. You're gonna see it in a minute. So now the toolkit works as a choose your own adventure game. So we select a persona, we navigate through all the system. You can download the deck as a PDF, you can print it, or you can use it directly from the website. This is how the cards currently look. The yellow cards are personas. So, for instance, the one that we are showing on screen right now is a LGBTQI plus person. So it's particularly a trans non-binary citizen. They have a non-binary gender marker on their passport. And then when they move to another country, they are faced with specific circumstances. We will go to that. And then you will see that in the bottom of the card, then it says, draw the following system cards. You go and draw biometrics, of course, because police bodies in a specific way, when you go across borders, then the way that the body is policed and it is regulated in a system changes. And so that's how biometrics will affect you. And then it goes to explain a little bit just how much can fit in a card, which is not much. What can it lead to? And I wanted to make a very clear separation between these two, because oftentimes when we see that we're trying to advocate against, let's say, against digital ID systems, it seems that we are saying that the system itself is the problem, or that biometrics are the problem. And the problem is the harm that they can cause. The problem is not the characteristic of the system. So biometrics in themselves are not the problem. How do we get to a mitigation state if we cannot separate what the harm is from the actual system or technology? And I'm not saying that the technology is neutral because we don't believe that, but these are two different things. So what are biometrics and what they can lead to? They can lead to surveillance in specific circumstances. They often lead to discrimination. Those are the cases that we have. So we grab the orange cards, and from the orange cards, then we get, yay, surveillance. This is what happens when we are surveilled. How to mitigate this? And then we go to the purple cards, which are the mitigations. This is just a set of four of the cards because I wanted to show you the design because I think the design is really cool. I love the design, I'm going to be honest. So from here now, we are working on translating the entire deck into Spanish, French, and Arabic, which are some of the major languages that we work on and the communities that we work on. We're going to work, like literally today, I'm going to start working on expanding the text into longer campaigning copies. So particularly for system cards like biometrics and harm mitigation, the personas not as much, but the other cards, to get longer, like longer explainers, because of course what can fit in a card is very reductive, and you will see that we are treading like a very, very narrow line in how do we make it so it fits in a card and it is a very, very simple language for people to understand. It doesn't get too technical, but at the same time, it is not losing all of the nuance and all of the specificity, because then it can just get to a point where it's not accurate anymore. So it is difficult. And then we are workshopping the toolkit as it is with the community. The community is already using it. They have found it very useful. I am very glad, actually. And lastly on this, we do have a card. We added a card, a blank card, for people to create their own personas, so their own characters, if they are not covered by what we have. But we do have a lot of people asking for a specific indigenous persona. So we are working with an expert to build that specific character. I want to stop sharing this and then try to share the other tab so you can hopefully see the toolkit as it works on the website. There we go. There is a toolkit. You can download the PDF. So the PDF is just the cards, and you can actually print it as if you were to use it like in playing. But also, and this took so much more work that it needed to take, really, you can just use it from here. So navigate. This is the explanation of how this works, which is like mainly the questions that I have been explaining to you. But you can then pick a persona. Let's say I always like picking Farhad, which is a person with disabilities, because we don't think about disabilities a lot in these scenarios. And I personally, as people with neurological and invisible disabilities, it is uncommon to think about this. So we are trying to think about this as well. So Farhad has specific neurodivergences. So the entire process of getting his body scanned is stressful, is traumatic, and it might trigger certain things on him. So, for instance, then we say that mandatory use for the system will affect Farhad in a specific way. Mandatory use is one of the things that we as digital rights community are trying to get in writing, that the systems cannot be mandatory, that there always needs to be some sort of alternative for them for a myriad of reasons. Some of them that they can lead to surveillance and discrimination. I am trying to make it so that we also have some conversations on dehumanization, autonomy, bodily autonomy, which is difficult for people working in the U.S. to understand, apparently, but bodily autonomy and personhood in general, right? So dehumanization, if we go there, we will see an explanation of why some communities are concerned about these systems being used to attack autonomy, human dignity, and bodily integrity, when they treat data about the body as something that can trade, can be traded and must be traded to access other fundamental human rights. And also when treating access to data about the body in the same way as data about other types of characteristics, like just personal data in general. So these are not the same. These are different and must be treated different. And then we have possible mitigations. For instance, things that we know already, like we need to have data protection frameworks in place before trying or thinking about implementing a system like this. We must have a limit to how we use biometrics and boundaries and place of how we use and exchange this type of information. But also, for instance, that we should have access to public services without identification. And this is a discussion that we are trying to start. And again, I'm jumping through topics because we cannot go through all of this, but you can if you're interested. But we are trying to have a conversation on what we think is ID, identity, legal identity in some places of a system, and which places of that system only should require, let's say, humanhood or personhood, and what that spectrum looks like. Like if you need to be identified through only some identifiers, if you could be identifiable through a permanent sort of identity that is not your legal identity, aka a pseudonym, and if in some cases you only need to, for the system to know that you, for instance, have a certain nationality or just are a human being or just live in a certain place, and how those systems would be a much better option in practice than the systems that we have right now being implemented in practice in countries. So at this point is where we are consulting this back to the community, writing more detailed approaches to this, trying to also grasp some sort of understanding about how this fits in the larger conversation about digital public infrastructure that is happening all over, and we are welcoming feedback. You can find my email just right there at the bottom of the site. And if you have any questions, any comments, any ideas, any thoughts on possible collaboration between our different communities, like all of that is super, super welcome. And I think that this is a good time for me to stop talking.
Great. This is gorgeous and so interesting and engaging. Nanu.
Yeah, thanks, Kimberly. Marianne, this is wonderful, amazing stuff. A number of us, I don't know how much you know about this community, but, you know, we started probably back in 2014, and a number of us met at the ID 2020 initiative at the United Nations, to try and provide, individuals with, identity, of the 2.4 billion people on the planet that don't have, you know, an identity, but do it in a privacy preserving, human rights, respecting way. So everything that you have said today, I think very positively and strongly resonates with many of us in this community. Most recently, you asked about collaboration. Most recently, and I think Nick Doty from Center for Democracy and Technology is here today. Simone is here from W3C. There are a number of us that are trying to work on a document that covers just about everything that you said today. Like we need a harms model, right? So you know, we create technical standards and we do work with technology, but we're very conscious of what that means for human rights and the potential for abuse, and how to run ahead and make sure that we have documented harms models, documented threats models. We know, you know, how the technology, you know, should fit into that infrastructure, and we know what technologies are we shouldn't build because of the harms that they might create. Or when we do build technologies, we know what to optimize for. So everything that you, I'm looking through this deck now, everything that you have talked in here feels like something that we need to put in to the harms model, security model that we're authoring at the World Wide Web Consortium. So all that to say, there's a lot of room to collaborate here. And I hope, I see Simone has put himself on the queue. I hope, Nick, you can speak to some of the work that you've been doing, in the space as well. So anyway, we absolutely want to work with you on taking some of these concepts that you have already fleshed out really well and pulling them into the standards process at the World Wide Web Consortium. That's it.
That's great. Thank you, Manu. Simone. You may be muted. We can't hear you if you're talking. Okay. I don't know if you all are reading the chat, but Simone is checking his headphones and Nick is feeding the baby and putting him down for a nap, which I like so jealous because I would like to do that. But this is very exciting work. I don't know, Marianne, after listening to Manu, do you have some thoughts on ways to collaborate?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we will be overjoyed to be able to provide input and collaborate with the harms framework that you're working on. For us, like there's also a digital ID coalition, a civil society coalition that is like 100 human rights organizations that we're working with. And I think there's great opportunity for us to try to bridge that knowledge from the communities that are working and affected and have been collecting those cases of study and of that, through all of the like wealth of technical knowledge that you have from all this work through the years. And I think that in many places, this intersection that we are at, are kind of lacking that a little bit, and we should be collaborating more closely. So it would make me very happy. And I know that the organization would be very happy.
Great. Simone, I think you're back.
Yes. I hope you can hear me now.
Yes, we can hear you. Great.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I just restarted the browser, changed, so it worked. So, first of all, thank you for all the work on YD, because we already started working on that. Even if I'm going to print the cards. And so what we are doing here, of course, as W3C, we are just developing standards. And also with the lead of Manu, we have some of the core technologies of decentralized identities that are a part of the mitigation. Question is that also, as Nick pointed out a few weeks ago, that we are starting to write down also our analysis for this kind of things. We already started to work about threat model, covering now the security part and also privacy part with Stride, Lindun, and also we have W3C privacy principles that can be assessed for this kind of things. And we need, of course, to add also the harms level. And that's because so we for sure needs to collaborate to create this model together. Maybe this can be separate from the other one. We're going to see. Also because our approach as W3C, we are working on four pillars, which are privacy, security, accessibility, internationalization, that are also covered in YD toolkit. And, but also we have some, so ethical web principles. And of course, if we have a technology, we need this, also to take care about the verbs. So that's because probably, so we can schedule a session on how to use the toolkit or having a session to apply on a verifiable credentials model should be fantastic in my opinion.
Great. Thank you. Marianne, I am wondering, you know, when you sit down with a group to do sort of to work with the deck, like how long do you, like, could you talk a little bit about what that session looks like?
Yes. Well, it depends actually. Depends on the size of the group. It depends on whether it's online or offline and on when we want to get to. But it usually takes about an hour. What we do is we pick a model, like oftentimes we already have picked a model. Like if you're working with activists from, let's say from Pakistan, and we already know that we're addressing that model. We split in groups if we have enough people, if we have at least two, three people to work on different groups, like small groups. We try to pick a few different personas, or some of them, like for instance in China, I know they created their own characters because it was a very specific concern that they had. I know that my friends from Venezuela are using specific cards that they created as well, because it is a very specific circumstance. So you can, if you need to create that persona, you're going to need about 15 more minutes to create the character. And then you try to just like pull all of the cards, and that is just going through the discussion of why this specific system affects this user more than other users. So that is in between all of the system cards we have, and often all of them will in some way exist or affect. So we need to understand if the system that we are studying has those models. Like, for instance, does this system use biometrics? Because not all digital ID systems use biometrics. So if they have it, the card will be applicable. But is it specifically applicable for this user? Is it the type of thing that affects this user more? Because otherwise you're going to end up with the entire deck on the table, which nice, but at that point, just read through the PDF and that's that. So what we're trying to do is create a structure. And I think that the structure is the important thing that we are providing here, or at least that's the feedback that we've gotten so far. That since it is such a complex topic to think about, particularly if you don't have the technical background, the structure of having a character, then having these layers to think through, is a useful framework, a way of thinking about it. And to this, I want to say that it is very basic again, and like you will find that the content is just one paragraph or two in each one of the things. We do have a lot more content on all of these, each one of these things saved, because that was not the point of the toolkit. So this is a simplified version. And that also means that if you find gaps while using it, you find that there is something that we are not covered, we have a blind spot, there is some way in which people are affected that is not here. Like, that's what the feedback is for. Like, we're still building, and I think that we want to continue to build on it. When we get to the end of that session, the point is for us to have recommendations. So the mitigation card is supposed to have the recommendations that we want for that specific case study, so that the activists that we're working with can go to, it's usually a government, but it can be like also like UN or the World Bank, UNDP. So that we have, okay, this is what we're asking for. We want these systems to be made better in these specific ways. And that usually, that can take between an hour and a half, depending on the type of system and group that we're working with.
Great. Thank you. I'm already thinking of lots of different ways and places that this would be just such a great activity for folks to just get them thinking. And I think it's so important that the cards are simple and don't have a lot of the content that you have in the, you know, saved on them, because this has to be delivered to folks in layers. It is too complex to sort of give it to everyone all at once, and giving them just enough content, I think is a great strategy. Manu, you're on the queue.
Thanks, Kimberly. So Marianne, I'm looking at this slightly differently. I think it's great the way that you, engage communities and, convey, the information in the way that you do. It is vital to be able to convey this to people that are not, you know, down in the technology depths. That said, I think the way, that this stuff would be most helpful to those of us writing technical standards. So one other piece of background that you might not have is that a number of us are software developers and software vendors, and we sell these, in the best of cases, privacy respecting, harms avoiding, human rights respecting systems, these identity systems, to like state governments, national governments, and things of that nature. So not only are we involved in kind of creating the standards, but some of us, have software companies where we sell this technology, into, you know, organizations. And so, you know, we're very well versed in kind of the concerns here, but always struggle, to convey the information in a straightforward manner to those that need to read it. So I'm looking specifically at the DEC, the Digital ID Toolkit, and I'm specifically looking at the harms cards and the mitigations cards. And the language that you have in there could be literally cut and pasted into the specifications that we're talking about, especially the harms model and the security model stuff. So the question to you is, you know, would you be averse to that in any way? I know, you know, we all have to kind of talk about it and come to consensus about the language, but, you know, having read through the language and being involved in this for more than a decade now, it feels like a direct mapping into kind of what we need. So you have language that has been written that we still need to write. And it may be the best way to start there is to take exactly what you have and move it into kind of some of these global standards documents. I don't know if you see any concern or danger in doing that. What are your thoughts there?
Do I just jump in? I mean, all of our material is under Creative Commons. I'm very honored, flattered. I wrote all of this personally myself. So if you find that it is good language and it's useful, I don't see any concern. We were very careful that the language could not be misused. I assume that if you're going to adapt it into something, you're going to change things, you guys will need to review it to make sure that it says what you needed to say. But we have absolutely no problem to our content being taken, quoted, just used. That's what it's for. It would be excellent for us. That would make me very happy.
Great. Manu, did you have more?
Excellent. Yeah, I'm sorry. I am going to be quiet after this. No, I'm monopolizing the queue, but this is super important work and stuff that we've been needing to do for a while now. And so, like, this is a great opportunity. Marianne, that's fantastic. That's great. The last question I have is how much, I know it's always really difficult to find time to be involved in all the things that you need to be involved in, but would you be able to be involved, or somebody from your team be able to be involved, to make sure that when we integrate this stuff, that it continues to be aligned with what Access Now and the YID program would like to see? Meaning that there's a way for us to invite you in as an invited expert to the global standard setting and, stuff. And, And I think that would probably be the best path to ensure that, you know, when we translate this, when we pull it in, there's a consensus process where everyone's kind of got to agree on the language. Things change during that kind of cycle. We want to make sure that you have and your team have input into that process, to either approve or object, on any changes we might make. Would you be able to participate in some capacity, maybe an hour a month at most, to help us do that?
I like how the question changed. But yes, I can commit an hour a month, even a couple more hours a month to this. Absolutely. Yes.
Excellent. Thank you. We'll definitely be in touch over email. Thank you.
Great. This is, yeah, very exciting. Does anyone else have questions for Marianne? Marianne, I was wondering a little bit about the signatories, and I was looking at that on your website. What are your goals for signatories and communicating this even more broadly?
Yeah, we are open to signatories still, but the letter dates back to 2019, so we are not actively recruiting new signatories. We are receiving signatories all the time, and also the signatory form is important because that's also how you get into the mailing list. And the mailing list is a good place to have resources, talking about planning conferences recently, just information about RightsCon, which was just open to proposals, all of that. But the letter itself, this is my personal opinion, it's not AccessNow's opinion, but the letter itself is a bit outdated. And we are actively working right now on some sort of statement, public-facing statement, that it's more aimed to the side of digital public infrastructure and the current discussion around that, trying to scope digital ID into DPI, which is going to sort of be as some form of update. We had a few, two open letters after the main foundational letter, the YID letter that you are looking at. It depends on timing, and that's a more general scope situation regarding principles. Right now it's not our main goal. At that moment, it was a sort of declaration on the principles of ID, which I think it's not that it is outdated in the sense that the things that are not valid anymore. They are. It's just that we are missing more things because a lot has happened in the past 5 years. Oh my God.
Yes, definitely a lot.
So much. All right,
well, thank you so much for coming today. This was really exciting and the toolkit is incredible. And I'm certainly looking forward to being a part of a session at some point in the future where I get to think through it all with all of you. So I hope that you all have a great week. We look forward to seeing you next week. I know that Harrison has a great agenda and went through it earlier. And we will enjoy seeing you all through the summer. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. And thank you again, Marianne. This was really, really fantastic.
Thank you so much. It's been such a joy to talk to you.